I love that video, don't you guys? I think Kelby needs to get his pores fixed. Guys, my name is Richard. Again, I serve as one of the pastors here at Bethel. Thank you guys so much for being here today. We started a series last week called Killing It. And if you guys missed it, you can always go on our website at bethelcommunity.church. Last week, we talked all about pride. And the thing about pride is it's really easy to see it in someone else, but really hard to see in yourself. We've been talking about things in our lives that are alive that need to be killed. We're going to be talking over the next 2 weeks, we'll be talking about condemnation and fear. But today we're talking about that thing that really keeps you from trusting other people, keeps you from opening up, keeps you from dreaming about the future, things that cause you to be critical of yourself and others, and that thing that really causes you to second-guess yourself. There's people in here that will second-guess themselves when they send an email or after they get off the phone. They'll wonder if they were understood correctly. We're talking about this thing called insecurity. Insecurity. Now, just to give you a little disclaimer, I believe today that God's really going to speak to many people today. Maybe when I said that word, insecurity, it spoke immediately to you, and for some, it did not. And that's because it's a very layered thing called insecurity. It's easy to see that thing called pride in other people, but it's really hard to see insecurity in other people. You see the guy at the gym that's pushing 300 pounds, man, surely he's not insecure. Or the lady that has it all together on the outside. Go to her house and children are behaving during those 2 hours. Her dishes are all put away and surely she's got it all together. Or you see that kid in college, he's just like everybody loves that guy. But underneath the surface, there's this thing called insecurity that's brewing away. You know, people back in the day used to say that if you were messing in somebody's business, you were getting in their Kool-Aid. And I believe not me, but the Spirit of God is going to get in your Kool-Aid a little bit today. So I just want to pray as I get started. Father, thank you so much for the opportunity to speak on an issue that I believe will go beneath the surface and really hit the very motivation of our heart today, God. I pray today, God, that things that have happened to us in the past that maybe have defined us for the last 10, 15, 20 plus years. God, I pray that there would be healing today, that you would minister to us in a real and tangible way today, God, in Jesus' name. Everybody say amen. If you got a Bible, you can go ahead and open it up to the book of Judges. We're going to get there in just a second. The book of Judges, chapter 6. You know, all of us have some degree of insecurity. And just to let you guys know, this is a very safe place today. You're probably looking at the most insecure person in this room right now. As a pastor, I probably have more insecurities than the average person. Every week, hundreds of people come to this church by the grace of God. But what a pastor has to go through is you have access to the greatest speakers on the planet in your smartphone. But yet you come, and as a pastor, it's, am I going to blow it today? Is a cuss word going to slip out? That was a joke, hopefully not. But all these insecurities and my own failures as a human, what right do I have to speak on what God says things should be like in our life? And all these insecurities from the past, they come and they haunt us sometimes. These thoughts that come into all of our brains. We're going to be talking about today's insecurity. I'm going to define insecurity as a lack of confidence about yourself or your ability to do things well. It's also a trusting in something that is uncertain or unstable. It's also could be placing your faith in something that you feel will give you worth and value but does not. It could be insecurity on your job, in your family, or maybe even in your own soul. And I believe God's going to reveal those things to us today. As I started to do some research on this thing called insecurity, I found this blog, and there's a lady named Judy. And she's a material scientist. She's a runner, a gamer, and an avid reader. And she wrote this about insecurity. She said, "My insecurities come from a deep, deep, deep-seated belief that I am inferior in almost every way to everyone around me. I know intellectually that that isn't true, but I also know that it's illogical that if I break down my achievements in life so far, or if someone else described my achievements to me, pretending that they were describing someone else, I would think that person really has it all together. Maybe somebody's looked at your life and they probably told you, you've got it all together. You've got this whole thing figured out. But however, inside, nothing ever feels good enough for me. That is my default reaction to everything." She said, for example, she went out on a run a few days ago in the high heat and ended up walking for a portion of it. And instead of thinking, wow, I can't believe I ran for 20 minutes in that kind of heat, my first thought was, I walked for 10 minutes. I must be out of shape. And she always focuses on the negative first. We're going to focus on something I believe that God wants to touch on, because when we talk about this word insecurity, it's really how we see ourselves. And we can be molded and shaped into thinking that we are something that God's word is very contrary to. Many times you may see a woman who is mistrusting of her husband. She gets angry all the time. She yells at her kids. She gets jealous. She's always critical. She's unforgiving and controlling. And we will judge a woman like that because we see the outside conduct of her character, but we didn't realize maybe it's because her husband's cheated on her. And maybe because the betrayal cut so deep, it's caused her to react in so many different types of insecurity because trust has been broken. Maybe it's because the wounds from our past can still cause damage in our life and for the people around us. Maybe the wounds from our past can still cause damage today. Think God's going to dip and dab in your Kool-Aid just a little bit. Sometimes we put more weight on what others think about us and maybe what we think about ourselves and really what God thinks about us. And it causes us to have insecurity. Maybe we've tried to please other people a little too much or to live up to somebody else's image of how we should live our lives. And what that means when we start to do that, it means that we have not fully trusted in who God says that we are. My prayer all this week has been that God would take our eyes off of how we see ourselves and allow God to show us how He sees us, how He sees us. And that's what insecurity really boils down to. It's an improper view of how we see ourselves. Maybe because we have these weird thoughts in our head that tell us lies, or because someone else has implanted thoughts and words into our lives that causes us to see life differently. But what it means is we have to go back and see what God actually says about us. Really, the study of God is called theology. And our theology will determine our thoughts about God, which determine our thoughts about ourselves. If you're in Judges, turn over to chapter 6. We're going to read about this guy named Gideon. Now, Gideon is a very, very unfamiliar name for some in the Bible. This takes place at a period of war for 7 years against the people called the Midianites. There's this guy who's very unsuspecting. His name is Gideon. He was simply taking care of his necessary food during a time of war. The Bible says that he was threshing wheat in a wine press during a time of war. He wasn't looking for God. He wasn't imagining that this day God is going to speak to him. But his world got rocked on one certain day. In verse 11, it says, "Now an angel of the Lord came and sat under the terebinth tree, which is in Ophrah, which belonged to Joash the Asbarite, while his son Gideon threshed wheat in the winepress in order to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, 'The Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor.'" Gideon said to him, "Oh, my Lord, if the Lord is with us, then why has all of this happened to us? Where are all his miracles which our father told us about, saying, 'Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt?' But now the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites." It says in verse 14, "Then the Lord turned to him and said, 'Go in this might of yours. You shall save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have I not sent you?'" Think about this for a second. This is not a great warrior. This is just an ordinary guy. Think about this for a minute. You're cutting your grass. You're sitting in your cubicle. You're just standing in the front of your house checking the mail. And all of a sudden, God speaks to you and tells you that there is greatness and destiny way down deep inside of you that God sees. But it's hard sometimes for us to see our potential that God has given us. And he says this in verse 15. Gideon says, he said to God, "Oh, my Lord, how can I save Israel? Indeed, my clan or my family is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house." How can it be that we have heard God's word? I can imagine many of you guys have heard God's word again and again and again. And God's word tells us so much destiny about ourselves, how we are a blessed people, how we are chosen, how we are predetermined to do great things for God. But because of the way we see ourselves and maybe the way other people see us, we discount God's word. Think about this guy, Gideon. God himself speaks, and he doubts God's very word. There's going to be a tendency in this room today to hear God's words about your individual life, and the tendency is going to be, there's going to be a chance for you to deny God's words about your life if you're a born-again believer in this church. You can actually have insecurities so deep in your life that it causes you to have fear in making decisions. It causes you to think less of yourself. It causes you to allow other people to walk all over you. And God's word says something so different. I believe today he wants to speak to you. Somebody say amen. Amen. When we feel this insecurity, we have to go and see what God's word says about us. I love this in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. It says, "He said to me," verse 9 and 10, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I would rather boast in my infirmities than the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in my infirmities," or my weaknesses. "I reproach in need and persecution and distress for Christ's sake. For I am weak, then I am strong." Even in your weaknesses, even in your failures, the Bible says that you are weak even when you feel strong. But the tendency is when we feel weak, when we feel less than, we act as if we are. And we allow a new image to come across us. We allow something else to give us worth and value other than God himself. Many people call this word an idol. Something that you get worth and value from. Something that you look to. Sometimes it's in our job and in our career and how many zeros we have in the bank. Or a position, maybe in the military, that we seek to go after. And because we feel so much that we're less than, we allow that thing to define us. So the big question is, how do we kill insecurity? Let me ask you a question before we talk about that. How many of you guys, by a show of hands, would say there's probably at least a few people in this room that have insecurity? All right. Now, how many of you, by a show of hands, would say that there's probably somebody very close to me, sitting around me, that has insecurity in their life? Told you God's going to start digging a little bit. And maybe if you looked in the mirror, there's some places in your life where you might find insecurity, where you're being defined by something other than what God says about you. You know, men and women are very different when it comes to this idea of insecurity. Men are very simple creatures. Somebody say amen. I don't think you should have said amen to that. Sorry about that. But as a representative of all men on the planet, I will say that we are very simple creatures. Most men would not say they have insecurities, because to acknowledge that fact would mean that we have insecurities. But there is a surefire way to find out if you're a man that you have insecurity, or if you're married to a man, or you just know a guy, or your dad, or your son, if he has insecurity. It's by one question. One question alone will really determine if a man has insecurity. Do I have what it takes? Do I have what it takes? This is the question that most men and even young boys wrestle with. Do I have what it takes to be a good dad? Do I have what it takes to not be like my dad? Do I have what it takes to be a good husband? Do I have what it takes to provide for my family? Do I have what it takes to get that promotion? Do I have what it takes to live up to what other people think about me? If you really want to bless the man in your life, if you're a lady, look at him in the eye. Don't do it right now. He'll think you're lying. This week, call him, maybe a dad, maybe your son, maybe your husband, maybe just a good friend. Tell him he has what it takes. When you do that to a man, it's like giving him a fresh breath. All the men say amen to that. Imagine, man, for a second, if a woman close to you in your life, if you're not married, maybe your mama, maybe a close friend, said you have what it takes. It makes a man keep growing stronger and longer. It makes him fight harder. But the problem with this insecurity is it also makes us do other things as well. Guys who don't know how to answer that question, if they have what it takes, it makes them work harder, it makes them try harder, but it can also make them crave the attention of the opposite sex and do things that they ought not do. Now, women, on the other hand, I'm not a woman. Thank you. You agree with me. My wife would agree with you. So I don't really know how insecurity works in a woman. But I was doing some research this week, and I might have gotten close. I found this video about how women try and try and try. And I just want to share this video with you just for a second. And we'll see if the God of heaven can speak through this little video.
Put your makeup on, get your nails done, curl your hair, run the extra mile, keep it slim so they like you. Do they like you? Get your sexy on, don't be shy, girl, take it off. This is what you want to belong, so they like you. Do you like you? You don't have to try so hard. Try, you don't have to try, you don't have to try, you don't have to try. Get your shopping on at the mall, max your credit cards, you don't have to choose, buy it all, so they like you. They like you. Wait a second, why should you care what they think of you when you're all alone by yourself? Do you like you? Do you like you? You don't have to try so hard. You don't have to give it all away. You just have to get up, get up, get up, get up. You don't have to try, try, try. You don't have to try, 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 try. You don't have to try, 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 try. Try, 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 try. You don't have to try, 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 try. You don't have to try, 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 try. You don't have to try. You don't have to try. You don't have to try so. Have to get up, get up, get up, get up. You don't have to change a single thing. You don't have to try, 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 try. You don't have to try, 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 try. You don't have to try. You don't have to try. Take your makeup off, let your hair down. Take a breath, look into the mirror at yourself. Don't you like you? I like you.
You know, sometimes you can clap. I don't think she'll hear you, but you can clap for her. I'm sure she appreciates that wherever she is. Sometimes a video speaks louder than all the words you can think of. But it's something how this thing, insecurity, it manifests itself in so many different ways and in so many people's lives. A lot of times we have this insecurity because simply we don't know who we are. We try to live up to these images that other people have for us. And after doing that for so long, it causes us to be really confused. And after we're 30, 40, 50, sometimes 60 plus years old, who am I really? It's a great poet named Ralph Ellison. He said in his book, The Invisible Man, when I discover who I am, I'll be free. When I discover who I am, I'll be free. It's a quick testimony for you guys. The first time I went to Victory Weekend, I was around 23 years old. I had recently given my life to Jesus Christ in a church setting just like this. And I thought life would gotten a whole lot better from where it was. And I went to this weekend not really knowing what to expect. And they started to talk about all these different issues that God was using to touch people's lives. And in the back of my mind, I heard God tell me something really profound. He wanted me to let go of something I had been holding on to for almost 20 years. See, when I was a little young boy, something happened to me that happens, unfortunately, to a lot of young boys. I was molested at an early age, and I had carried this guilt and this shame that I didn't tell anybody about for years. A decade went by, more time went by, and all of this shame caused me to be so promiscuous and trying to get an identity out of every woman I could find. And it had caused this depression really inside of me that I really didn't know was there until the Spirit of God put his finger on it. And I went to this Victory Weekend, and part of the weekend is we meet one-on-one with somebody else. And I had an opportunity to meet with Pastor Ron, who's actually in the back of the room, my first pastor. And for the very first time in my life, I opened my mouth and I told my story and how for over a decade, going almost into two decades, shame had really controlled a big portion of my life. And he didn't say too many words. He just said, "Isn't it great that God doesn't see you like that?" And my identity was not based on what had happened to me. And the way that we kill this thing called insecurity is simply by seeing what the God of heaven says about us and not the words of our own thoughts or the words of what other people say about us. See, sometimes we can be in church week after week, month after month, year after year, and hear all this Bible stuff. But it really doesn't soak into our lives that this God who wrote this Bible, he's speaking to me. And when I understand that this God who wrote this Bible, he thinks this about me, it doesn't matter what somebody else says because they're not God. They weren't formed. I wasn't formed in my neighbor's image. I wasn't formed in my coworker's image. I wasn't formed in what somebody else said. I was formed in the image of an almighty, everlasting God. And what he says about me matters more than anybody else. So I have a gift for you today. I want our ushers to come. This is simply a little bit of God's word. Because there's times in our lives when we have these insecurities. And again, nobody really sees the insecurities inside of you. All you guys look like $1 million a day. You look just as fresh as the day you were born. You look smooth. You look good today. But behind all the smiles, there are people in here that are being led by your insecurities. And I believe the God of heaven can give you freedom today. Kelby said in our last service that we need to repent about different things. The word repent, if you really break it down and what it means, it's really, really simple. It means to think differently about something. See, the words that have been spoken to us and the words we've said about ourselves, they cause damage. And what we have to do, if you are a child of God, that means that you have given your life to Jesus. He died on a cross for your sin. And when you put your faith and trust in him and make him your Lord, meaning that he's your boss, that means you have a new identity. It's a whole new world. The Bible actually says that old things have passed away and all things have become new. And when you are a child of God, you've got a new understanding on how the world works and, more importantly, how God sees you. So this little card, it simply says who I am in Christ. I gave you this because during those moments of insecurity, most of us don't go to, well, I guess I'll turn to Jeremiah 29:11. Because sometimes we just don't know where all that stuff is. The Bible's filled of a lot of different types of literature and a lot of different things that God says about us. But sometimes we just need to pull out a card. One of the first things I did when I gave my life to Christ, I had a card like this. It was called, I called it my identity card, because I had done so much wrong before I gave my life to Christ. I thought, surely I'll never dig myself out of this hole. And even as a believer, I still make mistakes over and over and over again. And the thoughts come into my mind, how can you be a man of God and think that thought? How can you be a man of God and say that thing? And I can allow that condemnation, that shame, that guilt to control my life. But I have to replace it with what God actually says, what God says about me. For example, in Romans 5, verse 1, it says, I have been justified. That is a powerful word. It means made. It means just as if I have never sinned. That when I gave my life to Jesus, in the eyes of God, God doesn't see my shame and my guilt and my sins from the past. Or Romans 8, 1 through 2, I am free from condemnation. Condemnation. Condemnation says that there's something wrong about you. God made a mistake with you. That's what condemnation is. Or Philippians 1, 6, I am confident that God will complete the good work he started in me. Or one of my favorites is in Philippians chapter 4, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Now, how many of you guys have people in your life that say you can't do things? You shouldn't do things. But the Bible says, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. When I walk around knowing that and I hear that competing voice in my head or from the mouth of someone else, I can resist that word. It's like when you study an original $100 bill for long enough, you can tell a counterfeit just like that. And there's a counterfeit voice that's competing for your attention. And I believe today that God wants to set you free. Can I pray for you today? If you could bow your head just with me for a second. Maybe you're here today and you're a man. You got it all together. On the outside, you got a clean truck, got money in the bank, woman who loves you, kids that adore you, but you are insecure because you're still trying to live up to an image your dad set for you, or running away from the image your daddy presented to you. Maybe you're asking that question in so many different ways. I really don't know if I have what it takes. I'm telling you today that in Christ, you have more than enough. Maybe you're a woman here today and maybe that video resonated with you, that you've tried to be beautiful. You've tried and tried and tried to get maybe attention from others, or maybe just to prove something to yourself. Maybe even you've given yourself away trying to get the attention of someone else. God says today, I don't judge you by that. If you give your life to Jesus, in Christ you are new, you are whole, you are pure. And I just pray today, maybe that's you. If I'm talking to you today, just raise your hand while your head's down. I just want to pray for some insecurities in this room that have owned you, that have defined you, that have labeled you. I pray today that today is a day of freedom. Whether you're 6 years old or 60 years old or older, today is a day where you can be set free. God, as a church people, God, we pray today, God, that we will no longer, you need to identify this to yourself if you're in this room, I will no longer hold on to the words or the images that someone else has made of me or that I have made of myself that are contrary to the Word of God. Today, I will see myself the way God says I am. I will hold on to God's words as He speaks to me, that I am accepted, no matter when I've been rejected by somebody else. I am secure in a world full of insecurity. I am significant in a world of insignificance. I matter to you, God, so much. You died on a cross so that I could know you, so that I could be forgiven, so that I could have fellowship with you. Every individual in here, God, you know them by name. Your word is so powerful, it says that you know the very number of hairs that are on each one's head. Your word says that you know the thoughts that you think towards me. Even when we were in our mother's womb, you had plans for us, God. And along the way, people have tried to destroy the image that you've created. And we've believed it. We've believed that our failures are who we are. Our mistakes are who we are. But God, we say that's a lie. One last verse for you is the Bible says it. There's no condemnation for those that are in Christ. One more verse. No weapon formed against you shall be able to prosper. I want you to say that with me. No weapon formed against me shall be able to prosper. And I refute every word that has risen against me in judgment. For that is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. And my righteousness comes from you. God, heal your people now, Father, in Jesus' name. Everybody say amen.